praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Praise him, all ye people. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise him, all ye people.
For his merciful kindness is great toward us.
Is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever, forever and ever.
Good morning and welcome to the Word of Life. At the time of the recording of this program, I have just driven through the town of Gentry where I live, and there are Christmas lights all over the place. The main street is decked out. Houses are decorated. If you look in the windows of houses, you see brightly colored trees. You see all kinds of decorations out in the yard. We call this Christmas time. Over the years, Christmas has changed in its effect on people. We see shopping going through the roof, sales all over the place, all kinds of push and pressure by people to accomplish what is deemed to be Christmas by the society that we live in. The day, December 25th, has been recognized for many years, not eons, but many years, as a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We understand that many people have a religious expression at this time. Many people stop and pause and try to remember, and some spend the Christmas season bemoaning the fact that people have forgotten what the traditional Christmas is. Now, I say the word traditional because we're going to read some text of Scripture that's a rather lengthy reading today, and then talk about what Christmas is as far as what the Bible is concerned with. We have here on the Word of Life in the past talked about a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 10, and the passage is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In order to have faith on something, if you understand what that particular passage is talking about, it has to be something that God has said. Let's read what God has said. We begin in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1 at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed. At this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. When you look at the text that we just read from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 45, you see the plan of God that had been in preparation since before the creation of the world. The plan of God coming to fruition. Two women and a child involved. Now, granted, the two women were involved by God's design. It was not Elizabeth's choice to be told that she would have a son in her old age. It was not Mary's choice to be told that she would be overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit and that the child within her would be a child from God. It was not their plan, but it was the plan of God. Prophecy throughout the Old Testament had talked about the very event that we are reading about for thousands of years. For as long as God had been revealing, this was his plan. Since before the foundation of the world, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, Jesus would be the answer. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. In our society today, songs are common. Whether you are working, whether you are relaxing, songs are something that are a part of our life. Mary gives us a song here. We begin our reading again in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. He has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned home. The song that Mary sang is not a song to music like we think of. It is a song from her heart, reveling in the fact that God has chosen her to bring into the world the Savior that Israel had longed for. Not everybody would recognize this Savior. Not everybody would understand the kind of Savior that he was. But Mary knew that God was working in her. And the song is an expression to God for what Mary had received. The statement is made within the song that Mary's soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. What better way to start that song? As you look then at the passage that we have read so far from verse 26 all the way down to verse 56 in Luke chapter 1, what you have seen is God's plan and the use of the unexpected people. Mary would not be the choice of people to bring the Son of God into the world. Most people would say something like, well, if the Son of God's coming into the world, he ought to come in with the angels in flaming fire, you know, and all this kind of stuff going on. And yet he came into the world essentially like you and me did. My understanding of the events here is framed by the statement of the Word of God. Luke was a meticulous historian. He gave great care to making sure that what he said was what was. And besides that, the evident involvement of the Spirit of God in putting this message here for us. We skip over a little ways to Luke chapter 2. Begin reading with me again. Verse 1, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him, and who was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now much has been made out of the statement at the end of verse 7 that there was no room for them in the inn. Many stories have been written and probably more attention given than perhaps is due. What could surpass the importance of the event that we see here? Altogether, the picture is that Mary and Joseph were doing what everybody did. They were traveling at the orders of the Roman government to the hometown of Joseph. But it's interesting to notice that this journey was predicted many years before. Micah chapter 5 contains a prophecy. The prophecy states that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Mary was not from Bethlehem. The events that took place before this, the event of Elizabeth and Mary and the visiting that was done and the song that was sang, did not take place at Bethlehem. It just so happens that a census was ordered. A journey with a very pregnant Mary was undertaken. You don't make journeys like this at the end of a pregnancy, but they had to. And the journey fulfilled the prophecy. As you look at these seven verses here, you see a historical position given to the event that Luke's about to tell us. In verse 1 and verse 2, we have the mention of Caesar Augustus giving the order the census to be taken, and the census itself identified in verse 2. We have the event of the trip mentioned in verse 3 and verse 4, and the purpose of the trip in verse 5 that coincides with the census that was ordered. In verse 6 and verse 7, we have what has happened a million times before, times many times. Now think about this. How many children have been born in this world? And yet this one receives so much attention. We go back to the text. Begin with me at the next verse, Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry, found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. As we look at this, then, what we see is that we have come through an event that is recognized by many today as being truthful and questioned by just as many. If you're going to have faith, you're going to have it by the hearing of the Word of God. You have just heard what the Word of God says. Do you believe? In a few moments, we'll continue our study. Now, a song.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean.
We're singing,
oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Sing it,
oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night.
We're gladly singing,
oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Singing,
oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone.
My blessed Savior,
how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
Let's sing it together.
Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Sing it.
Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
How many times today have you heard people talking about the events that we just read the text about? Now, there's much more to the story, and I don't mean to take away from the story, but you have heard these events. You have heard people citing the text and calling for an observance of remembrance of the birth of Jesus Christ. There is nothing wrong with the factual statements that we have read from the Scripture. I believe, because God says so, that this is exactly how the birth of Jesus took place. I believe that because of what God said so, that the prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus. I believe the events took place as they were. If you consider the people that Luke was writing to, now Luke started out this gospel by saying that he was going to ascertain the truth of the events that had been told by talking to the eyewitnesses and the others that had compiled accounts before. Luke was not the first account then. He was not the eyewitness himself. But Luke examined the truth and went to the people who were there and listened to what they said, and God guided him to put this in this book. You and I have a document here that to the people that originally read it was not of a story long, long ago in a land far, far away, not like mythology starts, but this was, so to speak, down the road from where they lived, just around the corner. That's what this is. Luke intends for these people that read, Theophilus and any others that would read this, to understand that indeed the events took place just as he recorded them. John the Baptist was born to Zacharias and Elizabeth because of the promise of God. Jesus was born to Mary because of the promise of God. As we look around us and see the various mentions of Jesus that are made in this particular season of the year, there is no doubt in my mind that we can take advantage of the opportunity to speak about this Jesus that came, about this Jesus that became a part of our history, became a part of our lives today, because in him, in this child born, we have all the promises of God coming to pass. This is what our life is about. The question that many raise about the birth of Jesus is not just about whether God fulfilled his promises, but about whether news that is too good to be true can actually be true. What I said about Luke a moment ago should help you to understand. This is not a made-up story 3 centuries after the events of Jesus' life to try to explain what Jesus is and who Jesus is. The 4 Gospels, seen as separate witnesses to the event of Jesus' arrival in the world, they bear the same witness. Mark pictures Jesus as the Savior of immediate action. Matthew pictures Jesus as the King. Luke, the historical Jesus. And John, the Word become flesh. All of these bring us to the point of having faith in the events as recorded. Now, the interesting thing about this is, and I want to mention this right now so that it gets into your mind, is that although Christmas is recognized by people and organized by people to be a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, the sum total of the statements of Scripture about the birth of Jesus contain no reference or demand for us to make a holiday to celebrate this birth. Now, is it wrong to be glad and grateful and revel in the grace of God that Jesus was born? No, it's not wrong. But to demand this as a religious exercise is to step beyond what we have read. And in fact, if you would read the entire New Testament, if you would read the entire Old Testament, you will not find a place that can make the religious celebration of the birth of Jesus a matter of faith. Now, when we get to opinion, we're in a different realm. Is it profitable for people to remember that Jesus was born in that manger, born in Bethlehem? It absolutely is. It is profitable. Religious observance of the day is no different than the religious observance of the day that celebrates the maturity of Jesus, the baptism of Jesus, the cross, or anything else in Jesus' life. You and I need to have an understanding. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, the faith that we have is that Jesus indeed is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, born in Bethlehem. The shepherds rejoiced. And all these things that we read, these are true. But the faith that comes from Scripture, faith coming from hearing the Word of God, is not a faith that says, let's celebrate the Advent with various days of worship and the communion and things like this. Not by faith. In a few moments, we'll wind up our thoughts for this morning. Right now, another song.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Oh, hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Oh, hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
Now, what we have come to is a point that we must make a decision. It is not a sin to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and I want you to understand that very clearly. But you cannot at the same time say that it is a matter of faith to celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th. I cannot say anything but what I am in the process of saying, which is that we rejoice in the truth of the revealed plan of God being brought to its completeness in the birth of Jesus. But we don't see, number one, a command for us to have a big and special celebration of this day. We don't see, number two, an example of the early church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, saved by the grace of Jesus, celebrating this day. You may disagree with me, but you cannot go to the Scripture to find this celebration. So what do we do with this? Well, we're going to talk about that a little more in our studies next Lord's Day. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want you to understand very clearly the idea of faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and what it involves. And we'll begin our study there next Lord's Day as we continue to consider what God has done to save us. And if we find the right way, we should follow it. Don't you agree? God bless you.